All right, and have an understanding. Same way we looked at what communion is biblically versus what it's not. One of the things we strive to make sure we do is that we understand the scriptural teaching of what it is, and not necessarily man's ideas or church tradition or anything like that, but getting some understanding directly from the Word of God. So, many Christians celebrate Lent. Why? What is the reason? Okay, so we're going to take a little look at that. So as we go, let's have a word of prayer real quick and go before the Lord and ask Him for wisdom. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You that You gave us this perfect book as an authority over our lives. And we don't have to depend on man's creation of ideas. Lord, You've been very clear of what You'd have us to do. And Lord, there are many times in our lives, and we talked about this just in our prayer time, that, Lord, we have the privilege and the opportunity to look at our lives and see and gauge ourselves, examine our hearts, and see if we're doing things the way You would have them to be done. But, Father, part of that is understanding what Your Word teaches about certain things. So we want to just have a clear understanding and gauge our lives and found it in what we know the truth of Your Word says. So, Father, I just pray You'd be with my mind. Help us as we share this together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Although there are some differences between Protestant and Catholic and different religious groups in the idea of Lent, the basic understanding behind Lent is it is 40 days of observance in which leads up to Easter. Okay, so 40 days that lead up to the Holy Week of Easter. And it is a time where fasting and penance and purification and abstinence from certain things take place in people's lives. All right, now, I want it to be understood right off the bat. Nothing wrong with having a fast. Nothing wrong with wanting to live a pure life. Nothing wrong with dedicating yourself to prayer and abstaining from things in your life that can teach you discipline, okay, and to focus your mind on service for the Lord. Very, very admirable things, but I want us to understand some of the guidelines that God gives us in His Word. So, biblically, there are the number 40 is used throughout the Scripture pretty clearly as a number of testing. Okay, there are 40 days of trials. There's 40 years in the wilderness. There are many times that God does not, just like we understand the number 7 is very important in God's Word, the number 12 is very important in God's Word, the number 40 is a very important thing in God's Word. So there is a biblical basis for understanding that the number 40 in the Bible represents a time of testing, okay, a time of proving. So, biblically, that is the truth. We also understand that there are three different instances in where men took on a 40-day fast. Okay, Moses himself took on a 40-day fast when he was going to Mount Sinai and getting the Ten Commandments. And Dan will be getting there pretty quick, I think, here pretty soon in Exodus, where Moses does this. Jesus himself, when he was tempted of the devil, fasted for 40 days. And so we understand that. And also Elijah, before his journey, when he was running from Ahab and Jezebel, and he was struggling with that, on his way to Mount Horeb, God fed him at the side of the river because he had a 40-day journey that he was going to have to make. Okay, and so he also had a fast. So it is not unheard of to abstain and have a fasting time for 40 days. However, and this is where, biblically, I want to be very clear about this so that we understand that I have no problems with people making a commitment to this, but we want to understand, is this biblical and why is it set this way? Nowhere in the Scripture, Old Testament for the Jews or New Testament for the Christian, is there ever Lent observed. Okay? Meaning, there is never a organized, decreed 40-day fast before recognizing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is a institute that has been put into practiced. The idea was talked about back in the 300 ADs, and it wasn't officially instituted by religious church until the 5th century as an active thing that would occur every single year. So I want us to understand, when it comes to biblically, no one in the Old Testament observed this, okay? And if you were going to make a comparison between Easter and Passover, which fall very similar time of year, the Jews were never commanded to have a 40-day fast that ended in Passover. Okay, the Christians, the apostles, or early Christians were never commanded to have a 40-day fast up until the resurrection of Christ was recognized on a yearly basis. Okay, so I'm trying to set the tone. This is something that in many churches, it is a yearly activity that it institutes 40 days before we celebrate Easter or Resurrection Sunday. When it comes to the scripture, that was never commanded. All right? So, does that mean it's a bad thing? Not necessarily. Okay? Because if people want to set their minds to the Lord and understand that they should be making some commitments to God, absolutely. No problem with that. But we need to look a little deeper on why these things are being done to understand why some of the folks around us may be doing these things so that we can help them understand their relationship with Jesus Christ and what this means, all right? In Christendom, there's my word for you for today, as opposed to putting Christianity in air quotes, we'll just put it in Christendom, meaning a lot of churches who will talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and God. It is a fasting and prayer and penance to purify oneself before Easter. Okay, and here's the issue that I have. There are many who believe that by carrying on Lent, that they are doing something that will result in the forgiveness of their sins. Okay, there is only one thing in the Bible that we understand will purify you from your sins, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. So, if someone is approaching you and saying, I am carrying on this Lent, not what you pull out of the dryer, okay, Lent, so that I can purify myself and remove my sins before Easter, we've got an improper doctrine, because that is not the purpose. Okay, it has never been the purpose of any fast in the Bible. Okay, fasting is not to take away your sins. What is fasting for the Bible? It is to discipline oneself and to keep the flesh at bay so that you can remind yourself that you can walk spiritually and not have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. When that stomach starts growling and you're like, oh man, I got to feed I'm so hungry. Because you know how many times God associates hunger with desires of the flesh, because it's something that's there every day. And I'll tell you, we tease sometimes at home about getting hangry. You ever hear the phrase hangry? Hangry means hungry and angry. Because you're so hungry, you're starting to get grouchy about it. Okay, because it's a vivid picture that God gives us about a desire of our flesh to fulfill. That is what we fast for, to remind ourselves, wait a second, this body is not in control. My relationship with God through the Spirit is what's in control. That I can say, no, I'm not going to eat. No, I'm not going to watch TV. No, I'm not going to do anything that this flesh wants to do, because I have a relationship with God in my spirit, and I'm going to walk in the Spirit and not be fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Are you with me so far? We've got a small crowd. Somebody nod. Okay, good. All right. Very good. So, the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can purify us from sin. It can only be the only thing that guarantees us forgiveness. Now, we talked on Wednesday night, and I'm just going to put this idea out there for us so we understand this. I want us to just leave here having an open book when it comes to this. The fast for 40 days of mourning and weeping and penance before Easter is something that existed long before the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. Okay, we talked about it on Wednesday night as we were studying church history. Goddess Ishtar, Semiramis, also known as, was the mother of Tammuz, the wife of Nimrod, way, way back, and her son was killed by a wild boar, and to help bring him back from the netherworld, she decreed that a fast be held for 40 days in which mourning and weeping would go on. And she searched the netherworlds for a golden egg which would be able to help her bring her son back from death, Tammuz. If you want a passage of scripture for that, Ezekiel talks about it. He sees abomination and he walks up to the temple doors and finds people, women weeping for Tammuz. Okay, there has been a 40-day fast and weeping and mourning that had occurred long before the Lord Jesus Christ had come. Now, people will debate whether or not that is the same fast. I personally tend to believe that it is, that it was melded into the same activity. Remember, folks, Easter, the phrase Easter, even though we use that to represent the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Easter was a holiday that was in existence long before Christ was on this earth. Okay, it didn't begin with Jesus' resurrection. Okay, the celebration of Easter, and here, remember who I called her? Semiramis, Ishtar. It's Easter, Ishtar. And she goes out in this world seeking her golden Ishtar egg. Okay, understand, there's a holiday. Whether or not that's what Lent was designed to match, you can debate that or think about that. I personally think that it's something that is just too close for comfort for me. Okay, but does that negate the idea that fasting and prayer and wanting to please God is wrong? No, of course not. All right? I want us to be clear about what this is about. So, the truth of the matter is there is never instruction in your Bible to fast for a Christian yearly around Easter. So that is why you and I in Bethel Bible Church do not do it. Because it's not something that we're asked to do. Now, are we asked to fast? Yes. Okay, the Apostle Paul many times says fasting and prayers. But are we commanded to do it at a certain day of the year? No. Matter of fact, are we commanded to pray just one day of the year? My Bible says pray without ceasing, right? It's something that should be done daily. And this is where I'm really going to focus on why this can be an issue. If you think that you are making God happy because you set 40 days of the year apart in regards to fulfilling some commitment, but the rest of the year you're not concerned about it, I have a problem with that. Okay, denying yourself does not impress God. Denying yourself can help you be better prepared. But there is nothing you and I can do by way of works that impresses God. And we can't work to make him happy. He loves us because he loves us. We do what we do because we love him, not because we need to do it to fulfill some sort of duty. Okay, I don't go, man, if I don't fast next week, oh, I'm in big trouble. Okay, we do these things on a voluntary basis. Colossians chapter 2. I want to look at a few verses here in the scripture. Colossians chapter 2. Just to set some guidelines along this desire to fast and to pray and to purify in regards to this 40 days. Colossians chapter 2 verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, and humility by neglect of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. God's saying, be careful that you set these ground rules onto your life of what you're not going to eat or what you're not going to do or what you're not going to do, and think that you're going to be impressing God with that. Okay, we were delivered from the bondage of this. This is why you and I don't have to keep the letter of the Old Testament law anymore. That's why this morning we're not going to offer a bullock on this altar, or doves, or start a fire, or spread the ashes, or those rudimentary things of the world that are religious rites are not necessary anymore, because they were never meant to make God happy. They were to point to Christ as our Passover, as our sacrifice. All those things. Okay? That is why we no longer have to go to a priest for our prayers, because God opens the door. Okay? Whether it's a priest in the church or a priest in the Jewish faith, anything like that. God has taken away all those guidelines and all those boundaries. And there are other verses, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but you know, Galatians is amazing in this, where it talks about we're free from those things. We don't need to bind ourselves to a bunch of works and a bunch of liturgy and different things to make God happy. Okay, that's not impressing to God. Now, here is one of the biggest issues where this is a struggle when justifying it with the scriptures. Lent is 40 days. Does anybody know what precedes Lent? What happens just before Lent? Okay, there are several things it's called. One of them is called Mardi Gras. Do you know what Mardi Gras is? Anybody ever see Mardi Gras? Okay, I will warn you, if you're going to get on your computer and Google Mardi Gras, be careful. Because some of the things that you're going to see probably are not stuff you want to see. Because Mardi Gras, what's that, Dan? Yeah, Fastnacht Day is a lot better. We asked Dan about Fastnacht Day. It has to do with donuts. By the way, Chet's not here. So okay, all right. But Mardi Gras, the design behind Mardi Gras is an ability to party and carry out lustful acts before you go into season of Lent. So the idea is, I'm going to go out and party and get all these sinful desires fulfilled before I go into Lent. Now, I don't know about you, but that is completely contrary to what our Bible teaches. Okay? And we'll get into that in a minute. I am not supposed to go, oh my goodness, and we've talked about this before in regards to some other religious handling of things, that I party all week so I can show up on one day and get my sins forgiven. And then I party all week again so I can go out and get my sins forgiven. That is not the way God designed us. Okay, and we're going to read a passage or two to remind us of that in a minute. The idea, and again, Mardi Gras, that's the French phrase for it. It's also called Carnival. It's also, many of you might have heard it in America, it's called Fat Tuesday. It means go out and eat and do whatever you want on Tuesday before you have to stop doing all those things to please God. So again, the idea is on Tuesday go out and sin and live riotously and do whatever you want, because on Wednesday you're going to ask for forgiveness for it. That is not the way our scripture teaches that we should live. Okay, so just giving us understanding. Is it wrong to fast? No, it's great. Is it wrong to pray? Is it wrong to abstain from certain things? Is it wrong to change our behavior because of what the resurrection of Christ means to us? No. But does that mean the day before we do it, we get to party like the devil just because the next day we're going to do that? That's the idea and the understanding behind the way this system is set up with Lent. Okay, so I want us to understand why it is a man's idea that seems pretty good, but when it comes to scriptural basis, it's tough to fit it in. All right. Lent begins on Ash Wednesday. Okay, anybody know Ash Wednesday? It is the first day of Lent. How do we know somebody is observing Ash Wednesday? Okay. They have ash on their forehead. Sometimes it's just a dot. Sometimes it's a cross. All right? To represent to everybody who sees them that they are now participating in this fast and this abstinence, right? Go to Matthew chapter 6, please. Go to Matthew chapter 6. The Lord Jesus himself gives us very specific instruction in this. Is there anything wrong with fasting? No. Okay, anything wrong with setting back to dedicate your life to the Lord and spend some extra time in prayer? No, but Jesus gives some guidelines in regards to this fast, any fast. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, so we know what he's talking about, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto all unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not to men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And the Father seeth thee in secret, shall reward thee openly. So Jesus is giving a command here about fasting. When you and I fast, we should not be displaying it to the whole world. Because what would happen back in those days, and what Jesus is referring to, but you still can see it, is people would put on their raggedy old clothes, and they would actually darken their faces with ash or other things to make it look like they were gaunt, like they were starving, just to put on the front, oh, I'm fasting. Well, I would come do that with you, but I'm fasting. You know, and putting on this front of super spirituality because they're fasting. Jesus says, don't do that. As a matter of fact, he says, you know, and there is some who will try to take this verse and say, when it says anoint your head, that's where you put the ash on your forehead. That's completely opposite of what this is saying. Because if you put ash on your forehead, then everybody knows you have ash on your forehead. This is something that he uses the phrase secret twice. Not supposed to be displayed to the whole world. The idea of anointing your head was washing up. Okay, you're washing your faces, you're cleaning up, you're getting yourself. You should look like you look any other day. Because a fast is not between you and other people, a fast is between you and God. Okay, now, I will recommend, and just as a note, and Dan and I several years ago did a study on fasting and prayer that we worked together at a table sitting right over here. If you are going to take on an extended fast, that you get an accountability partner with you. Okay? So to have one person that is a teammate, you know, or several that understand you're in a fast that can be an assistant to you. But it doesn't mean you walk around to everybody that you see going, oh, it's so tough when you fast. And that's what happens. Now, that is not necessarily the motivation behind everybody who does Lent, but understand something. If you are going to be biblical in a fast, other people shouldn't know you're fasting. So if I can be walking through Walmart and I can see you halfway down the aisle and go, oh, they're recognizing Lent and observing it, then that violates this passage of Scripture, doesn't it? Okay, am I the only one that thinks that? Jesus said it should be something secret that people are not going to see it. Wash your face. Don't let people understand when they look at you across the room and go, oh, they're fasting. Okay, that's not the way Jesus himself described the way a proper fast should happen. Okay, because notice something here. Oh, did you see Sister So-and-so? Sister So-and-so is fasting. Isn't she wonderful? See, such a godly woman. Did you see what the verse said? It says, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. If you display it in front of other people and people give you credit for it, that's your reward. Don't expect anything else from God. Now, I'm not making that up. Did you see it with me? The next verse 18 says, if you do it in secret, your Father which is in secret, secret shall reward you openly. The Bible is very clear here. If you're going to put on a show that lets people know you're fasting and for credit amongst men, that's your reward. If you're going to do it secretly to God, God will take care of giving you what you deserve in the reward. God will bless you for it. But if you're going to do it for the pat on the back for the people around you, then that's your reward. That's what you'll get. Don't expect anything else. You see that with me? I'm not trying to throw people under the bus who want to fast for Lent if they have a desire to do that, but there are guidelines that are very specific. So if you're going to do abstaining for Lent, don't put the ash on your face. Don't let people know you're doing it, because if you're showing off by letting everybody know, the Word of God is very clear here. Don't do it. All right? So, with all that in mind, when should you and I strive to be pure in our lives? Should it only be just before Easter? Let's read a few verses together. I just want to focus on what the Lord does, because He very clearly expects us to live a life that's separated from the world and the flesh, and that we should be abstaining from things in this world, and we should be dedicating our lives to prayer, and we should be living a life that looks forward and to represent the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But is it something that should happen out of the 365 days of the year, only 40? No, okay. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to flip through a few verses if you can keep up with me. If not, I'll try to read them as clearly as I possibly can. It's getting to be a challenge anymore with these bifocal things. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we should be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. In verse 3, and every man that have this hope in Him purify himself, even as He is pure. This is an activity that every Christian should be doing every single day. If we know who the Lord Jesus Christ is and we're looking forward to His appearing someday, we should be living a life that represents who Jesus is. Ain't no, hey, today I'm partying at Mardi Gras or Carnival or Fat Tuesday because tomorrow I'm going to fast and be good. That is not what the Scripture teaches. If we're a child of God and we understand that He's coming soon, we should be trying to live a pure life every single day. Okay, 1 Peter, back a book. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And again, considering that verse in regards to the commandment that He gave in Matthew about doing it secretly and your Father will reward you openly. He says, if you humble yourself before God, He will exalt you in due time. Let God do His work. Hey, let God handle it. You don't need to be looking for a pat on the back. You know, as a commercial, you and I may have known folks like this. We may have been folks like this. Well, I don't do that because I do it for the Lord. Okay, and as silly as it sounds, I'm literally saying with an intonation that I hear people use, that they will do something and they'll put it out there like, it's such a sacrifice for me as I'm offering this to God. Be careful, because the things we're doing for the Lord, if we're bragging on it to other folks, that might just be the pat on the back we're going to get. God says, humble yourself before God. He'll reward you before God. Don't worry about other people. If we're doing this Christian walk just so what other people will think of us, remember, God looks on man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He knows what's going on in here. Okay, and I'll be honest with you guys, there have been times in my life that I've done things just because I knew other people were watching and I really didn't want to do them. Let me ask you a question. If you're doing something that God knows you don't want to do, if you're pushing yourself to do something for the Lord and you really don't want to do it, but you're doing it because other people are watching you, do you think God really accepts that as an offering? Okay, have our children take out the trash. Take out the trash. Boy, you better take out that trash. And you see them. And then they stomping out the door and throwing and slamming things in. They come in and they stomp up to their room and pout. Do you go, Junior's so good. He always just does his chores because he loves to work with the family. No. You realize the only reason they did that is because they felt they had to. It was not an offering of love, nor was it something in which they were cooperating with the system. You think God sometimes looks at us and goes, I know why you're really doing that. Because I look on the heart. And so what's our motivation? And I'm not just talking about now those who are doing Lent, although that's part of it. I'm talking about any of us that want to fast or do anything for the Lord. If we're going to humble ourselves before God, it's before God. You don't need to necessarily be, you know, it's so tough when you sacrifice for God. Be careful, because you might just be getting all the reward you're going to get when somebody says, I'm so happy with you. You're such a wonderful person because of what you're doing. Careful. Just be careful. Okay, John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Go back to 14. This is Jesus in his prayer for us just before he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you want to set yourself apart, if you want to do a little abstinence and fast and pray, it means separating yourself from this world. And I find it very difficult to understand how somebody can say, I'm going to party like the devil on Tuesday, and then I'm going to sacrifice myself to God on Wednesday. It doesn't jive with what God's word tells us, that we ought to be walking a separate life from this world. Ephesians chapter 4. Just a couple of more and we'll be done flipping around. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 24. He says, and put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, let every man speak the truth of his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I didn't start at 22. And put off concerning the former conversation the old man with which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. As believers, we're supposed to put off that old man every single day. Not just 40 days out of the year. Every single day. Now again, I'm just trying to give us some guidelines. Now there are those who you will know who will be celebrating Lent right now who do live a sanctified life and try to live separated to the world. But there are others who will recognize this thinking this is the only time they need to do that. That is not what the scripture teaches. This is something you and I should be doing every single day. Putting off the old man and putting on the new. I hate it. Because every time I wake up, that old man's there waiting to jump in and be in control. And every single day, I've got to remind him he's not the boss. Okay, two more verses. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 7 and 8 are amazing passages when it comes to regards. If you want a homework assignment in regards to this, about our walking in our flesh, Romans chapter 7 and 8. But Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity or against or enemy against God, for it cannot be subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, ye be in this, Let me try that again. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So a reminder, if you are a believer and the Spirit of God is in you, we should be walking in the Spirit every day. Not just set aside for 40 days, right? Last passage, and then we'll close things up before the snow gets any deeper. Actually, is it raining now? Ooh, okay. It'll be a good time to get ready to get back on the road before things are awful out there. Galatians chapter 5. More of a lengthy passage, but remember the understanding that we're trying to put across is if somebody wants to do 40 days of prayer and fasting and dedicating their lives to the Lord to purify themselves of the things of the flesh, that's great. I appreciate that. But for true Christians who want to serve God with their whole heart, it's something that should be happening every single day, not just 40 days. Okay? This whole idea of having it 40 days is something that was invented by humans, not God. Okay? There should not ever be a day in our lives where we say, let's party like crazy, and then I'll go ahead and walk in the Spirit tomorrow. Okay, that is not the concept. And Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16. We'll start there and go to verse 25. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, and these are. And I was reading through this the other day, and this sounds like a news report on Mardi Gras to me. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulence, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. That they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So just a reminder, guys, you cannot earn God's forgiveness for sins by fasting. It's not how it works. You do not go ahead and act terribly and fulfill all these lusts of the flesh we just read and then decide the next day you're going to fast and God's going to take care of that for you. That is not the system that God's designed. Okay, first off, if you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and accepted him as Savior, he's forgiven your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not by works. It is not by prayers. It is not by fastings. It is not by any abstinence of anything that creates that happening. Once that does happen in a Christian life, a Christian should be striving not to fulfill those desires anymore. And so for Christians across this world right now to present this idea that, hey, just before Lent, let's party it up like crazy and get it all out of the way so that now we can abstain from that, and that's a great representation of what a Christian life should be, that is not a great representation of what a Christian life should be. Okay? Now, does God want you and I to fast? Now, I've asked that question, I hope you noticed, several times, because in our culture, in American churches, we don't fast very much, do we? And it's something that still God asks us to fast. Now, one of the easiest ways in which God presents fasting in the Scripture is food. Because back in those days, that was one of the only things that would occupy your time and have you to a point where it was something that you really had to exercise your will to remove yourself from. I tell you now that there are more things in our culture that you can fast from. It can be food. It can be something else. One of the things that would be an amazing fast today for a lot of folks is putting down your cellular device. And just say, you know what, I'm going to not be on my phone at all today. And every time I have a desire to do that, I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to the Lord. That's what it's all about. It's to remind us when we have those desires of the flesh that are powerful, that it reminds us that we push that down aside and say, no, I've committed today that I'm going to make an effort to be extra communicating and extra in touch with my Father. Back in the old days, food was one of those very good things. Television is another great one. Okay, there are so many things nowadays that want to draw our attention and we feel like we need. Well, a fast is taking that, what your flesh thinks you need, and saying, I don't need that. The only thing I need is my relationship with my God. So, as an encouragement, consider some time and some way in which you can fast. Because it's always been a positive in God's Word. Always. Even though we don't do it very much. It is something that gives us a connection with God. He says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you and I would be able to get to that place where fervently, we're in prayer and we're pushing all our earthly desires off so we can spend some time before our God, he says it makes a big difference. So nothing wrong with fasting, but guidelines are clear in the Word of God. If you're going to do it, don't come in on Sunday and say, pray for me tomorrow, I'm fasting. Okay? Because if you're doing it to show off to men, it's not going to avail much like God's Word says. You'll get your reward, and that's just going to be the, aren't you a good Christian today? Okay? It is something between you and God. So when we consider Lent and consider the things that are going on, that people are doing it, just be ready to give answer what the truth is about God's Word. If they're doing it thinking it's earning them a trip to heaven, only faith and trust in Jesus Christ is going to forgive sins. If they're doing it because they think it can wash away the sinful behavior that they just got done with before Easter, that's also not what the Word of God teaches. Okay? And if it's a license to, all right, I've earned my brownie points, I've put enough, and here's the thing, guys, how many times have this been illustrated in a scale where in a lot of religious activities people say, well, if I have enough good on this side of the scale, it'll outweigh all the bads on this side of the scale, and God will be impressed with me. That is not how God functions. And if they think, okay, it's been a tough year this year, I've really not lived for God like I should be living, I haven't prayed and I haven't given and I haven't done my works like I should, but if I do this 40 days here, it's going to weigh the scale down, so I'm all set with God for this next year. God doesn't work that way either. Okay? Understand that there are folks out there who may have an unbiblical understanding of what Lent is all about. Please encourage people to take some time extra for prayer and dedicating their lives to the Lord. We ought to be doing that same thing. But to pin it down to a 40-day block, which you don't find in the Scripture, is kind of tough. It's something we should be doing and considering every single day. That we should be walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That we should be considering fasting and prayer and extra commitment because of what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means to us. It should be something that is active every day in our lives. Okay, and so now, I'll tell you, if you go out and you see somebody with an accident, don't look cross-eyed at them. At least you know they're trying to do something for God. But it may be an opportunity just to remind them that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And again, I say that almost every time I pray. Because, Father, right now, there are so many churches across this country and across this world who will teach different concepts of Lent. And, Father, I don't cast down people who are trying to do something for you. The fact that they want to do something different in their life in recognition of something that you've done for them is admirable. But, Father, if we're doing it outside the teachings of your word, it's just like that kid who's taking out the garbage, but doing it in their own way, in their own time, with their own attitude. Lord, you've given us very clear teachings in your word in regards to this. It was never established a 40-day period of a fast before Easter that Christians or Jews or anyone, Yes, Jesus, Moses, Elijah had fast, but it had no tie to any specific holiday or holy day or anything. They did it because they wanted to get themselves in a place through this trial, through this testing, through this putting away of the flesh, that they were ready to serve you with their whole heart. Father, I just pray for us as believers that, Lord, we would consider abstaining and fasting and extra prayers. Lord, this world wants to keep us so busy. And Father, our culture presents so many things to us that we can have almost instantly. Father, the question is, sometimes should we? Or is it time to look at this flesh of ours and say, you are not in control, flesh. I don't have to have what thing you desire. I can put that aside so I can focus on my God. And so, Father, that's always an admirable thing where we can deny, because we're supposed to be mortifying this flesh, putting it to death. We're supposed to be walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling those kind of lusts. And so, Father, for those who may be trapped in this endless cycle of, I'll sin sometime this week and then I'll go get it taken care of at a service or a fast or a holy day. Lord, it's an endless cycle that you came to break. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sins. We don't live like the devil part of the week and then go ask for forgiveness the rest. Lord, that is a very discouraging, very, very deceiving cycle that people are trapped in. Help us, Father, as we go out there and we may see someone who's struggling with the ideas of what this means, that we could point them to the fact that Jesus is the answer for sin. We need to remind them that he is the Savior. He is our guarantee. So, Father, thank you again for this day. Help us keep us safe as we're heading home, Lord, in this weather. And again, Lord, be with us and the folks who couldn't make it today, Lord, and for nursing home, if that takes place this afternoon, Lord, just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, even though there may only be a few of us. Lord, you're still here with us. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.